Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Today on Home But Not Alone, we're going to chat about who we are and what we're doing with this podcast. Hey, Tim.
Sarah, how are you today?
Well, I'm good. I'm bribing the kids to be quiet with a movie and popcorn and candy. So let's hope that this goes well.
Yes. And I understand. My wife just took the kids. I'm actually not sure where she took them now that I think about it. The gym or the library, or she took them somewhere. So I don't think they really wanted to go anywhere. The 3-year-old was a little tired because she started this new habit of waking up super early in the morning.
Perfect.
And this morning she decided she had to go get the 1-year-old. And
of course she did.
Said, oh, he was crying. Yeah, he was crying because you woke him up. I cry when you wake me up too, child. So yeah.
Life with kids.
Oh my gosh. And then she was upset later and she was looking at her brother going, hold me. I'm like, he's half your size. Give him
too
a
funny.
Month, though. He'll be bigger.
Too funny. Okay, so we're starting this new podcast. What are we doing?
Well, that is a very good question, one I ask myself in life all the time. there's a tendency among stay-at-home parents to end up very isolated. And so we are here to tell you, if you are a stay-at-home parent, that you are not alone. We are here with you in solidarity through your struggles and your joys. We are here to develop and share community. We're here to share ridiculous parenting stories, or as other people I've heard call them, war stories. And we recognize through our experiences that it's so difficult to have a relationship with Christ when you are a parent, because a lot of the traditional ways of living out your faith seem to be in conflict with the schedule of parenting. So we're going to talk about a lot of that stuff and how to make that work.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy, that phenomenon that we're surrounded by these tiny people all the time, but somehow we still end up feeling so alone?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when people end up with your friends you used to see all the time. They have their own kids and people have moved away. People have done different things and you don't really have the time. I'll even tell you, I was visiting friends out of state recently, and we thought, oh, it'll be a great idea. It was my buddy and I, and our wives were going to a Catholic women's conference. We're like, okay, we'll take the kids and we'll do stuff. Neither of us thought about the fact that our children have conflicting nap times.
Oh, no.
So the entire day was just kids taking turns napping while other kids were feeling cooped up.
And
so just the reality of even visiting them,
right,
it became more focused on, oh my gosh, we're never going to get out of here. And we didn't. We never got out of there. So it's, you know, it can be very challenging when so much of our schedules are dictated by these lunatics, you know, I mean, children. What do we call them? That's...
So you're a stay-at-home dad.
Yes, I am.
You don't see that a lot.
No, it's counterintuitive to what some people have seen or suggested over the years. And I became a stay-at-home dad. I was a parish youth minister for 6 years. Before that and throughout all of this, I've done volunteer ministry. And when I entered parish youth ministry, the average burnout rate for a youth minister, at least in the U.S., was 2 years of service. The only thing with a faster burnout rate was prison ministry. And that says more than you realize. But after 6 years, my wife and I, we spent some time, okay, am I going to keep doing ministry? She's a high-risk OB nurse and nursing educator, so we both have long hours and crazy schedules. And after, you know, just a period of discernment, we realized, I'm just going to stay home. I basically make the same amount of money as a stay-at-home dad, not selling or doing anything, than I did as a parish youth minister. And I say that as a joke, but the amount of money I burned at fast food restaurants,
right,
or gas, or, you know, pitching my
so
own
true.
Money in.
Yeah.
The year after we started having me stay at home, we did our taxes and we realized, oh, we didn't, we're not missing out on anything. This saved us a lot for childcare and stress. So after a discernment period with my wife, we decided that I would stay home, and it has worked out so far.
That's awesome.
So
go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, so that discernment period, like what kind of things were you doing during that period before you came to that decision? Like you're going to be a stay at home dad.
Oh, that's a really good question. So I looked into other ministry opportunities because that's the only profession I've ever known. And that's what I feel called to in many ways.
Yeah.
And then it was also, okay, well, I can't find the right ministry opportunity. Maybe I'll just start applying for random jobs, see what I can get. And then it was things like I'd get halfway through the job application for the Quick Trip gas station. And then they'd say, are you willing to shave your beard? Because we require all our employees to be clean shaven. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Not going to give up your beard for that job, right?
Well, no. Well, because one, I've been, gosh, it was back in 2013 or something, 13 or 14. And I was in the St. Louis Catholic Review newspaper. And this was before I grew a beard. And the thing is, I have a shaved head, and without the beard, I look like a giant toe with no nail. So I prefer not to look like that. Also, I clean up enough poop in my life here. I don't need to clean up stranger poop at the gas station and change my appearance to do that. So after realizing none of these options were really going to work, I tried to develop my own ministry, which I ended up doing with the help of my wife. But We looked into all these different things. We took it to prayer. We discussed our finances. We were trying to figure out what would be the best for our family. And now we can do random things on Tuesday mornings that we otherwise wouldn't be able to do. Or my wife is very qualified as a nurse educator for teaching OB clinicals, and she gets regular offers to teach. So that enables her to take those positions without us having additional childcare.
Yeah.
Or she has on-call shifts. There are coworkers of hers who have to pay for child care on days that they might not even get called in, on the off chance that they have to get called in. And so we don't have to do that. So financially, spiritually,
like throwing money, lighting money on fire, throwing it down the toilet, like terrible.
Yeah. And then we get to take our kids to adoration every week. And
wonderful.
There's so many benefits that me keeping a traditional career wouldn't have worked out.
So was it hard for you when you were like searching for a job, not really finding the right one? Because early on in our marriage, we spent a time where, you know, I didn't have a job, and my husband was searching, and it was hard for him, you know, just kind of feeling like I got to provide for the family. Did you experience the same feeling of that being hard for you, that pressure to provide for the family?
You know, I didn't, because I actually had people ask me even before I was married. They'd be like, you know, you're working for the Catholic Church. What are you going to do to be able to provide a salary, you know, to pay the bills for your family? And I was like, I don't know. That's God's job to figure stuff out. Don't make me think. OK, but then it got to the point where they still say it after a few years. They go, oh, well, does it bother you not providing for your family? And I'm like, okay, again, let's go back to what the youth ministry's salary was.
Right.
My wife has always been the one who made more money than me.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
And also, providing to me, when people say, oh, are you providing for your family? Like I said, I take my kids to adoration every week. I pray with them every night. The other day, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, my mother came to Mass with me and the kids because my wife was at work. And she afterwards said, I can't believe your daughter knows and sings every word of the Gloria. I'm like, yeah. Now, I don't say that to brag. I also have to tell her to take my toenail clippers out of her mouth. But the time that I spend with my kids, they are learning the faith. And they're learning the faith from their father, which is such an important role, important aspect of fatherhood is to demonstrate that faith, to teach that faith, to stammer through words like I'm doing. It's important it's so important, and people don't give enough credit to fathers and the impact that they have in general, but especially on the faith. So
yeah, so important.
Yeah. If at the end of the day, my kids know and love Christ, I've done my job as a father, and whether or not we have enough money to, you know, buy them this or whatever it may be, that doesn't matter. There's thrift stores. And frankly, like I said, we're doing better financially now that I'm not working, which is
right. Sad. Yeah, but that is weird.
So for me, providing is not about financial providing. It is about caring for my children. It is about making sure that they know and love God. And frankly, everything else, my father used to say this, God comes first, family's a close second, and nothing else really is on the charts. It's nothing else is on the scale. That's all extra.
That's perfect.
And I always love that. But so how and when did you become a stay-at-home mom?
Yeah, so my mom was always a stay-at-home mom. She's still a stay-at-home mom. And by the time I got through, you know, high school and getting into college and starting to discern that path for my life, I just knew that that's what I wanted. That was my plan. And going through college, I went to college for math. I have a degree in math. And I was pretty good at math. You know, I am a published mathematician, believe it or not.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, I did some original research in number theory, and I mean, it was fun. And my professor started telling me, like, you got to go to grad school, you got to get a PhD.
I gotta stop you and ask you a question.
Yeah, this go ahead.
The most boring question anyone's ever asked. What is number theory?
Yeah, so like kind of looking at numbers and seeing what they do.
Okay, what do they do?
So, like, you know how in high school you learn those things, like, if you add zero to any number, that number stays the same?
Yeah.
Those are, like, the basics of number theory. So I studied this. I had this equation, these two equations. One of them was a parabola, and one of them was, I don't remember what the other one was. I don't remember what this stuff is. But I studied, like, how these equations interact. That's about as much as I can tell you anymore. But okay. I found these new equations and these new formulas, and apparently that's important to mathematicians. So
it's kind of like when a mommy number and a daddy number love each other, and then they profess their love to each other, and then they multiply or something. I don't know.
Did you know that's not a joke? My husband studies polynomial mating.
I didn't know that wasn't a joke. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was an absurd thing I was saying. And that's... Wow.
There's such a thing as polynomial mating, and they make little polynomial babies. And yeah, it happens.
Wow. That was not in theology of the body. Maybe it should have been.
Probably should have been. So yeah, so I...
So adult.
Yeah. I studied these things, and my professor started telling me, you got to like continue studying. You got to go get these higher degrees. And I was like, nah, because my career goal was just to get a job that I could quit when I got married and started having kids.
I love that. I love that because that there's so many of us who end up trying to define ourselves by our career success. And the fact that you went into a career saying, yeah, no, I want to do something that I can leave, that I can go do something that I'm called to do, as opposed to I want to root myself and I'm desperate for this to succeed. Oh. So you taught math. What kind of math?
I taught math in high school for a couple of years before I had my first son when I quit. But I taught, you know, I was the new teacher, so they kind of lean towards giving you like some of the lower classes. Like I taught algebra to the kids who had to take algebra again.
That's just algebra is just spelling. Like that is some mean person a long time ago said, what can we do to stinky hormonal teenagers? Let's put letters and numbers and be like, remember when you learned how to spell an ad? Now you have to do it at the same time or something. I don't know. It's just mean. I don't know.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, that's – well, my dad, another thing he used to say was anyone in our family gets a C in math, it counts as an A. So we are not the mathematically inclined family that you and your husband are.
Hey, you know, whatever works. But yeah, so these kids, and one thing about teaching these kids is I really was invested. Like I wanted to see them succeed. And sometimes I was more invested in these kids than their own parents. And it was really difficult for me because I had 140 students and just trying to reach all of them and make a difference in their lives when you feel like you're the only one who's even connecting with them was just exhausting. And even though I was
like good at teaching, and I was helping these kids like learn and helping them love math. It was so draining to me. So by the end of those few years, I was coming home crying at the end of every day, just so burnt out. And I just knew that what I wanted was not to teach 140 kids and try to make a difference in 140 kids' lives, which, I mean, that is for some people. And if God calls some people to that, like, that's awesome. It's needed. But for me, I just knew that God was calling me to just be a mom, stay at home, love my own kids, teach my own kids. So I was relieved when I finally, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm birthing a child. I quit. I'm not coming back.
Nice. That was, oh gosh, that's similar. When my wife was finishing her master's degree, she was pregnant with baby number one. And people said, oh, what are you going to do with your master's? And she said, have a baby. And, you know, that now she uses it for teaching. But the just that idea of priorities and knowing, OK, well, no, I'm going to put my family first over these aspects.
People don't understand that.
No. And I think a lot of it is, I was just telling somebody this the other day, that we have a tendency in our culture to try and quantify success, which is why like second grade teachers are so underpaid. But if you don't have a good second grade teacher, you're going to struggle to have a good foundation for whatever you're learning next, either developmentally or intellectually. And so we tend to look at it and say, oh, well, how much money does this person make, or how much influence do they have, or how many followers do they have? And frankly, most of the jobs, most of the roles in society that make a really big difference, in my experience, are ones that are not quantifiable. Because as a parent, or, you know, I think about my wife as a nurse, she's paid okay, but she doesn't get paid nearly as much as I think she's worth and the hard work that she does. And so if not for her, I mean, she keeps mamas and babies alive. And I think that's a little important in our world, is to keep mamas and babies alive. But yeah, I think there's this failure to understand quality influences, quality impact over something we can quantify. So I think that's why so many people steer toward, well, I need to define myself by my career as opposed to by God's love. And then I need to support my family before I focus on my career, whatever it may be. I think it's a lot of that, because it's hard to quantify your success with somebody who, you know, pooped themselves the other day. You know, that's when somebody's shouting, no, it's okay, Dad, I'm just pooping in the yard. Like, what, how do you quantify that as being successful? You know, I don't have a dog for the reason of, I don't want to pick up poop in the backyard, but
I feel like, especially with stay-at-home parenting, like, we are constantly fighting that mentality from society. And I feel that it's really helpful when, you know, the husband and wife are both on board with, okay, one of us giving up that dream career that the world says we should have to become a stay-at-home parent. So for you, like, as far as your wife's support, like, is she 100% on board with you being a stay-at-home dad? And like, how does that kind of, you know, affect your whole family?
Oh, well, first of all, she, not only is she on board, she prefers it. It's one of the great stressors from early in our marriage, because we had our first child right away, was childcare and trying to coordinate schedules. And this just made it so much easier. But also, you know, I do a lot of the laundry and the dishes and stuff like that. She does too, but she loves the fact that I'm here to help, so that when she gets home from a 12-hour shift, then she doesn't have to then dive in and do some of these things that they're already taken care of. Yeah. And also, she says this to me probably once a week. She just loves and is so thankful that that our children are with one of their parents. Yeah. Not that, you know, there's anything wrong with daycare, because there are some wonderful daycare opportunities out there.
Sure.
But just to be able to be with a parent who is with them almost all the time, she really enjoys that. She really finds a great deal of comfort in that. And frankly, my kids, they love me a little too much. I'd like them to be a little more afraid of me, if that's possible. But no, my wife and I, we, like I said before, we discerned and we're like, okay, well, we were basically living off her salary anyway. We used the money I brought in not to pay down student loans, but to pay them down faster. Like, we were already paying them And we were like, well, I guess we have an extra $6 from Youth Ministry. Let's just put that there. Like, you know, and so she was very supportive of that. And then she's also very supportive of the fact that we started a chastity ministry. I mean, yeah. I call it a chastity ministry, but it's a lot of things. It's theology of the body. It's natural family planning. Yes. It's pro-life. It's identity in Christ. It's all of these different things that involve promoting and just promoting the dignity of the person and helping people to have healthy relationships. So that's a nice little side thing we can do.
That's beautiful. So, it's important work.
Yeah, well, it's fun most of the time. Sometimes it's very difficult because you get to see people between, yeah. especially between my wife's work in high-risk obstetrics and my work, my former work in youth ministry. We've just seen so many broken people, so many yeah. broken families, people who don't know how to have relationships yeah. or don't know what to do in their current situation. So to be able to help build those people up, it's really a joy to see somebody take a positive step toward having healthier relationships.
Yeah.
So, and for how sure. long have you been a stay-at-home mom?
8 years. So Eight years. My son just turned 8 this fall. So it's been 8 years. It's just flies by. I'm sitting here like, where did that go? But even so, I just wanted to say, talking about support, that I have experienced, you know, the same thing. My husband has been 100% supportive of me being a stay-at-home mom, even when, you know, like I mentioned, he was struggling to find a job. And then he went back to grad school to get his PhD, and we were living off his grad school stipend. He never thought twice about, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm staying home at our kids. And there was no question about that. So it was so helpful to me to have that support, because you can doubt it sometimes when you're, you know, just scraping by. But I know that not everybody has 100% support, whether it's from their spouse or the pushback from their family or their immediate community. So I'm really glad that, you know, we're doing this so we can be here to just affirm people that, you know, you're doing the right, if you've discerned that you're called, God's calling you to be a stay-at-home parent, you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely, 110%. And there, I just heard somebody say this, and it was involving some conversation that God had with St. Catherine of Siena or something. And it was why prayer can be a struggle so often. Oh. And there were four things, but one of them is that the evil one, that the devil, when he sees you doing something that is God's will, he's going to try and pick away at it and get you to doubt it, because it's going to lead toward your sainthood. So wow. if you have those little nagging doubts sometimes, as we often all do, it could very well be that you're doing something that is so good and so in line with the will of God that the devil can't stand to watch it happen and wants to try and tear that down. And I thought, well, you know, Catherine of Siena was pretty smart, so I'm gonna go with what she said.
That is really helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Hey, dude, thank Catherine of Siena. I just listen to other people's podcasts, and, you know, they tell me stuff about saints. So, you know, that's how it goes. So, well, we want to thank everybody for listening today, and join us next time on our next episode, when we are going to talk about the top 5 Daniel Tiger songs that adults can learn from. And make sure to subscribe to this podcast and comment and share it on social media. Whatever you can do would be a great help for us. We'd love any feedback. Sarah, where can people find you?
My blog is tojesussincerely.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at tojesussincerely.
And you can find me at chastelove.com. I'm sorry, not .com, .org. You can find me at chastelove.org or on any of the social medias at The Chaste Love. So go reheat your coffee and remember, you are not alone.